Church in Sauk City. This is 99.7 FM WRPQ Baraboo. We take you live to St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo for the Sunday morning worship service.
Good evening to Thursday night at St. John's. Say hello to somebody you don't know. Wave hello, shake a hand. Greet each other in the Lord. There we go. They even said hi to me. All right. We are in the fourth Sunday of Epiphany, and our theme today is that Jesus reveals his divine authority. And that authority is over all things because it is divine. We begin our worship with our first hymn. Oh, I probably should say before we start that, you can see we're still in further construction, and we don't have a screen tonight, so the hymns won't be on the screen for you. I'm just going to have to, you know, tell you what it is. In the new hymnal, it's 633, Speak, O Lord. In the new hymnal, 633, Speak, O Lord, is our first hymn.
We invite you to the Sunday morning worship service from St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church in Baraboo, Wisconsin. St. John's is a member of the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod and proclaims the Word of God to a confused and uneasy world. Let us now prepare our hearts and minds as we ask the Lord's blessing on our worship this morning. Pastor Timothy Kuski will bring us the message from God's Word, speaking on the scripture reading from Mark 1, 21 through 28, with authority. Our congregation is opening up the service by singing hymn number 633, Speak, O Lord. 633.
Shape and
worship this morning is following setting 3 on page 188 from the Christian Worship Hymnal.
Please rise. Those of you here will need to use your hymnals. We're on page, I believe, 189 in your blue hymnals. I'd like you to follow along there. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. We turn to page 89 for the confession of sins that is there. Blessed are they whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed are they whose sin the Lord does not count against them. Let us confess our sins to the Lord. Almighty and merciful Father, we have strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed what we have devised and desired in our hearts. We have offended you and sinned against your holy law. We have done those things that we should not have done. We have not done those things that we should have done. Have mercy on us, Lord. Spare us, forgive us, and restore us according to your promises in Christ Jesus. Our gracious Father in heaven has been merciful to us. He sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, who gave his life as the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Thank you. Almighty and everlasting God, look with mercy on our weaknesses, and in all our dangers and needs, stretch out the right hand of your majesty to help and defend us. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. The Old Testament lesson is from Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 15 through 20. And here God tells us about a prophet that is to come, one who will be much like Moses. And it is his words that we need to listen to. It is his words that will be filled with divine power. We read from Deuteronomy 18. The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me, from among your own brothers. You must listen to him. For this is what you asked of the Lord your God at Horeb on the day of the assembly, when you said, let us not hear the voice of the Lord our God, nor see this great fire anymore, or we will die. The Lord said to me, what they say is good. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers. I will put my words in his mouth, and he will tell them everything I command him. If anyone does not listen to my words that the prophet speaks in my name, I myself will call him to account. But a prophet who presumes to speak in my name anything I have not commanded him to say, or a prophet who speaks in the name of other gods, must be put to death. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We continue with Psalm 29b. We need to look in your Psalters. I believe in a cantor. We'll be singing the refrain and the first set of verses. No. You'll sing the first set, first verse. Okay.
We will be singing Psalm 29b in your Psalter on page 143, The Voice Which Shakes the Earth. The cantor will begin.
Thank you.
second lesson is from Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 through 6, where the writer of the Hebrews points out that Jesus is much more superior to Moses. It's important for us to see that he deserves greater honor than all because of who he is, the Son of God. We read, "Therefore, holy brothers, who share in the heavenly calling, fix your thoughts on Jesus, the apostle and high priest whom we confess. He was faithful to the one who appointed him, just as Moses was faithful in all God's house. Jesus has been found worthy of greater honor than Moses, just as the builder of a house has greater honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but God is the builder of everything. Moses was faithful as a servant in all God's house, testifying to what would be said in the future. But Christ is faithful as a son over God's house, and we are his house if we hold on to our courage and the hope of which we boast." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please rise, and I guess I'm going to have to sing the gospel acclamation because you guys don't have it in your books. Our gospel lesson is found in Mark chapter 1, where God reveals his authority, an authority that comes through his speaking, and it's even an authority even over his enemies. We read, "They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. People were amazed at his teaching, because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out, 'What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God.' 'Be quiet,' said Jesus sternly. 'Come out of him.' The evil spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, 'What is this, a new teaching and with authority? He even gives orders to the evil spirits and they obey him.' News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you, O Christ.
Please be seated for our next hymn. Our next hymn is hymn 541, "How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds." Hymn 541, "How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds."
The congregation at St. John's Baraboo will now sing hymn number 541 from the Christian worship hymnal, "How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds."
Oh,
Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. Your people who know the glory of the Lord in Christ Jesus. What do you think when you think of authority? Well, there's the authority of a boss, right? If you don't toe the line with the boss, you might lose your job. Or the authority of a policeman who has those beautiful red lights on his car. And the first thing we do when we see those red lights is look down at our own speed limit, right? Our own speed, right? Maybe you think of authority as Congress or our president. And in the end, I want you, especially as Christians, to marvel at the wonderful gift that authority is, even in our own crazy democracy. God asks us to willingly and joyfully respect our elected officials. At least we had the opportunity to elect the one we wanted, and the plain fact of the matter is, most people in the world don't have that. And so now God asks you to respect even the one you didn't vote for. Because God gave us this wonderful gift called authority, and here we see Christ Jesus wield his authority, and how he wields it is wonderful for us. His authority is absolute authority, and his authority is always found in grace. I'm just going to read one verse from our text and just catch us up. This is from the gospel lesson. Because he taught them as one who had authority and not as the teachers of the law. I really think it's interesting to watch people respond. And we all know what that is. Of course, you know, we are animals that will follow anyone. If it's on the internet, well, then it's of course true, isn't it? Because everybody believes it, right? And yet we all know that's just, you got to check your sources. And yet so many follow right along. And yet, when someone with real authority comes and says, this is the way it needs to be, we grumble, you know, I'm not so sure about that. I think it'd be this way, I can be that. And all of a sudden, we're a whole country with 80 different directions to go, right? Following one guy or another because it just wasn't what I thought. And we see that a little bit as we see Jesus with his true and ultimate authority over all things. That doesn't dissuade Jesus, though. Christ reveals his ultimate and universal authority. He has authority over the faithful by his gracious word, and he has authority even over his enemies. Let's take a look at the first part of our text. Then they went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to preach. The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as teachers of the law. You know, sometimes the best authorities are those who are willing and able to submit to authority. Here Jesus is submitting to the authority of God. He made it his regular practice to go to the synagogue on the Sabbath day. It seems he never missed. And he led his disciples every Saturday to the Sabbath, right? And I think that's not an error by the scriptures. Again and again and again, Jesus, even though he's the one who wrote the Bible, went and gathered around the Bible with those around him. And even though he's the one who wrote it, he sat there and listened to people who had nowhere near his skill and ability, and yet shared that worship time with them. Why? We know why. He loved his heavenly Father, and he wanted to worship his heavenly Father. It was a natural outflow of faith. He respected his heavenly Father, and so he submitted himself willingly to his God. And then he also knew that in order to be our Savior, he had to obey that law, and so he did it out of love for us. Not only to teach us what is right and that we need to be regular in our worship, but also that he enjoyed coming and worshiping, and he wanted to obey so that his fondest wish would come true and he could pay for the sins of the world. He loved you and me. I appreciate an authority that can submit to others. But Christ also uses that authority. And it's amazing what authority he uses. It's in his word. Just as much as it says he went to the Sabbath, it says even more in the scriptures that he preached and he taught. He did his very best to preach. And yeah, okay, I get to say as a guy who preaches, yeah, he had a little bit extra. He could look in people's hearts and tell them exactly what they needed to hear. But then again, when he's talking to a large group, like 5,000 at a time, it's not like he can bend it to each one, can he? And he had amazing teaching, didn't he? People here attested to that, didn't they? They went to hear this constant preaching of his. People wanted to hear him preach. And I think it was because he was an amazing speaker. Because he touched them in the heart. They wanted to hear him more than they wanted to see the miracles. He was amazing in his teaching. He was here to teach us the things we needed to know. But it's also important to see that the most important miracles that God does are done when there is preaching and teaching, when he uses his word. Faith comes from hearing the message. And when he makes his promises in the gospel, he not only tells you what to believe, but he also empowers that word to create heart in faithless hearts, to create faith in faithless hearts. He recreates life in people. That is the miracle. We rejoice in preaching that preaches that simple gospel message. And although it may not always be popular, as it was with Jesus and his amazing teaching, yet it still builds up those who are faithful. We rejoice that God continues to bless his word with that kind of power because he still uses it. He uses it through those whom he has chosen to preach and teach us. And he uses it through you as you speak the word to those around you. Be his instrument and let him speak through you. It's interesting to see the reaction of many of the folks there. We'll get to that, especially at the end. But, you know, some of them were faithful, and some of them were just there for the show. It's not like they had TVs in every house or they could watch the football game on their phone. They never had any of that. And so part of the entertainment was to go and see a great speaker. Well, he was one of those. And what an amazement he made. People were following him all over. We have that story of the feeding of the 5,000. Boy, they went to great lengths to go and listen to him. And they even compared him to their own great masters, who probably were pretty good themselves, and yet he surpassed them by far. And it's really interesting the way it describes what Jesus spoke. Jesus basically spoke what God spoke in the Old Testament. And it's very clear that he also repeated what God had given to John the Baptist to preach. He said, "The kingdom of heaven is near. Repent and believe the good news." That was John the Baptist's message. It's an old message, and yet it's new to every soul. And it's new to us every time we need to hear it, which is every day. God renews us in the faith and the knowledge that he brings forgiveness to those who come in repentance. That's what we need to be, dear listeners of God. Hearing what God preaches and let it affect our hearts and build us up in the middle of all the tough things in life that we must encounter. And now I want you to get this picture of him in Capernaum preaching at the synagogue there, which likely was overflowing. And Jesus got him in the palm of his hand as he's preaching. And then from out of nowhere, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are. The Holy One of God." "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly. "Come out of him." Wow, that would surprise you. I think I got a couple of you there, didn't I? Didn't mean to give you a heart attack. All right. In the middle of that nice quiet sermon, here Jesus' enemies, in the form of evil spirits, made a ruckus, didn't they? They had the power to make a ruckus, they sure did. And they choose just this time, when Jesus has got him in the palm of his hand, to try to disrupt the worship of those who are around them. When you think about it, it's completely senseless and unreasonable actions. And we're going to take a look at that as we go along. And yet, what did it accomplish? In the end, not much. Because it only gave Jesus an opportunity to reveal that he has power even over his most difficult enemies. Doesn't he? Yeah, they made a ruckus. And the demon's actions, as we'll look at, had plenty of layers in it. This wasn't unthought through. However, it was completely irrational and unreasonable. And we need to understand that about the demons that tempt us as well. Because when they tempt us to sin, the things that we do are completely unreasonable, unrational, and doesn't do much good in anywhere. And now the demons reveal themselves. And notice how carefully I say it in the plural. And I might skip back and forth to singular, but if you look closely, it says, "What do you want with us?" This man had more than one demon in him. And they're just simply demonstrating exactly what happened when Eve handed the apple to Adam, that evil and immorality always desire someone else to do it with them. We always like to have somebody else to support us in our immorality. Of course, until authority shows up, and then the robber will blame the other guy. Right? His partner, who didn't get caught, was the one who did it. I was just there. Right? But these demons, they reveal themselves as completely unreasonable in this disturbance. It's kind of interesting that while Jesus was there, there was more of these demon possessions, and there was more of these unexplainable diseases and illnesses. Satan can be less than subtle at times. And even our own missionaries have found that when they go to a new area where there hasn't been the gospel for a long time, we see this very unsubtle work of Satan that takes people over and brings them into, well, possession. And what is that possession? Well, it's a demon who was originally an angel. Let's start with a definition of an angel. An angel is someone who is a spirit sent by God to serve God's people. But once they have turned into a demon, it is really the exact opposite. They have the powers of an angel, and yet they are not any longer spirits who serve, but they are spirits who cause others to suffer. And that's what they were doing to this poor man, just making him suffer. And they used him as their mouthpiece, and so they make this demanding question: "What is there between you and between me, Jesus of Nazareth?" Well, there's a lot between Jesus of Nazareth and these demons. He cast them out of heaven. The war that they fought against God came to a great big failure. And Jesus came out to save us from their dominion and from what the demons did to the human race. There's a lot between Jesus of Nazareth and the demons. They step between God and his beloved children. What this demon is proving is his own evil, which hurts those who he associates with and who he's proving he's only proving his unreasonableness. And now think about this. Why would the demon show up and make himself known right when the very Son of God is standing in front of him? It's kind of like trying to take on an enemy with a pea shooter and you're taking on the enemy tank that wants to kill you with a pea shooter. Doesn't seem very wise, does it? And yet he just couldn't resist getting in Jesus' face, couldn't resist defying God. The demon knows in his mind that this is the divine Son of God. He already identified him. And the demon asks a further question: have you come to destroy us? Here's where we start to see some of those layers. Here Jesus is preaching about grace and mercy, and this demon wants people to think that this Jesus is a torturer and someone who wants to hurt and wants to kill and wants to destroy. Do you see the lie? And the plain fact of the matter is, these demons are about as destroyed as they can get. They're already confined to hell, that even though they can reach out to those who open up their minds to them, they have that limited power, yet they are all still in hell. What more could God give them to suffer? They are far away from any good blessing of God while they are in hell. All they are doing is suffering because they chose to be away from God. They thought they were better than God. And God placed them where they needed to be. Yet, like a moth to a flame, here they are, getting closer and closer. They have to be there. They have to come to see Jesus and reveal their own destruction, their own weakness, and their own condemnation. They want Jesus to look like a cruel man. And yet all they do is reveal the great contrast between Jesus' grace and kindness and their own self-destruction. How sad. Are there people out there in our world like these demons? Do you know people who cannot help but go and listen to God's word, but in their everyday life they act like demons out in the world? Are you one of those? How compassionate Christ is to patiently listen to this demon's complaint, even though he firmly ends it quickly. How patient God is to continue to give each and every one of us a second opportunity and many more to know him as a gracious Father in heaven. Well, here's another layer to the Satan, this demon's temptation. He IDs Jesus. They attest to Jesus' divinity. It's a good thing in this that, you know, even Jesus' enemies know who he is. They have to if they're going to try to take him on. They got to know. And here he lets it slip that he's the Holy One of God. There is no one holy but God. That makes Jesus the Holy One of God. But then why did the demon do this? I think it's pretty simple. It's kind of like who you get your best advice from. Are you going to get and believe what a demon says? Are you going to trust what he says? You know they lie. And here he makes the truth into a lie, trying to make you think, well, I better doubt it because it's a demon who's speaking it. Later, the Pharisees and Sadducees claim that Jesus is in league with these devils, because he's the one that keeps casting them out. The demons told the truth so that you would not believe it from them, so that you might believe the Pharisees and the Sadducees. But those who are spiritual see right through their ruse. Demons can make the truth of God into a lie. Beware, dear Christian, of the temptations that can come to lead you to doubt, to lead you to follow someone else and be misled, just like Adam and Eve. But Jesus makes it very clear that the demons were not to preach Christ. That wasn't their place at all. The demon's place is always and will always be suffering and a warning to those who want to turn away from God. They are separated from divine grace and mercy. And it is simply illustrating exactly what evil eventually does to someone. It demonstrates how evil leads to complete unreasonableness and irrationality. And hell The demons are completely and totally and absolutely miserable. And how do we know that? We know that because of what Jesus did after the demons spoke. Jesus commanded, and the demons obeyed. And there's no doubt about that. The Greek basically says what Jesus said, shut up your mouth and come out of him. And the demons could do no other. Oh, Jesus permitted a little fit from the demons. The demons gives the man one more convulsion and shakes him into a scream. He cannot risk defying the command of God one more time. It's kind of like the attitude of people who can't resist giving lifting one little finger to the Lord in some way, shape, or form. Can't resist it. They can't stop it because they're possessed by Satan's falsehoods. And these devils cry out irrationally and in frustration as they come out of the man, as they shake him one more time. And in the end, the demons only succeed in showing the great contrast between the peace and the joy that is with Christ and the destruction and death and lies that are with Satan, the suffering that comes when you are in league with devils. How unreasonably patient Christ is that he freed this man in love and freed this man in love for the people in that congregation, freed that man in love for you and me to see the power of God. How sad it is that people still respond to the devil's complete unreasonableness. And we know that we at times succumb to that too. It's important for us to admit that and recognize that. Because demons always bring you suffering. And they always try to fool you. They'll tell you something that'll be great for you. But in the end, it is only a curse. And it's not just in moral decisions. You know, Jesus isn't even taking on here the doctrinal preaching that they try to turn around and upside down. You know, we need to be able to say to ourselves and to others, how's that working out for you? Going against what God says. Is that good for you? Really? Let's be loving and encouraging like Jesus. Let's not be like those who try every sly thing to undermine someone else. Instead, let us be brothers and sisters in this church, supporting and encouraging one another as the angels are supposed to do for us. Let us stand with Jesus right out front with the truth. Dear Christian, fight Satan in your heart. He will flee from you. Stand up with Christ and let clarity reign. Let the irrationality come out of your life and make reasonable decisions with the Lord, because Christ exercises his authority over all his enemies. The end of our text. The people were all so amazed that they asked one another, what is this, a new teaching and with authority? He even gives orders to evil spirits and they obey him. News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. They call this the talk in the parking lot, right? It's kind of what God wants us to do. We want to talk about the wonderful messages we've heard. It's interesting in down south that all the bodybuilders go to their bodybuilding in the morning on Monday, and they talk about the preacher they heard that weekend. Kind of neat to see. I know of guys who would go there and hear the sermons from all the other guys around them. You know, cause that was the pastor's day off, and he got his exercise that day. It's just interesting. I hope that we're willing to do that and point out exactly how God has blessed us with a new teaching, with a new thought that we haven't heard before, because this is the power of God. Let us come to the right conclusion and listen to the authority of our Messiah, that he continues to preach through his word, and it's always old, but it's always new, reminding us of the grace and mercy that Jesus gives to us today. Rejoice in his gracious divine authority, which he brings through his word, and then also see with great hope and great comfort that Jesus even has power and authority over his enemies. Recognize Jesus as your supreme and absolute authority. Amen. Please rise. We now confess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed, which is on page 197 in your hymnals. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated for our prayer of the church, which I left over here in my bulletin. Loving God and Lord, you created the universe that surrounds us and the globe in which we live. You control all things through your Son who sits at your right hand in glory. Comfort us with the promise of your eternal presence and power. Give your word power as it works in our hearts and minds. Clear away our confusion, demolish our doubts and irrationality. Send your spirit in to strengthen both our confidence in your promises and a desire to live according to your will. Take away our love of sinning and restore us each day by your grace. The signs of the times warn us that the end of time is near. Protect us from scoffers who sneer at your truth. Spare us and Christians around the world from all forms of hate and persecution. Give us courage to carry the cross with patience and joy. Instill in the hearts of our children a desire to follow you as they prepare for future days. Help them distinguish between what is passing and what is eternal, between instant thrills and lasting joy. Encourage more young people to prepare for service in the public ministry of the gospel. Mold us and move us to be good examples for our youth. Hold in your care, Lord, those who are experiencing physical or emotional pain and all who are afflicted by disease or facing death. Pour out your compassion on the grieving and comfort the mourners who miss someone they loved. Move us to pray for these brothers and sisters and to help when we can. Dear Lord, we pray today for Warren White's family. You have carried to the angels Beldonna White. Lord God, comfort them in the knowledge that the faith that she had brings her to glory through the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for her life and her faithfulness and her commitment to you. And as an example for us in this life, bless us, dear Lord, as we also restore and encourage and lift up the family. Hear us, Lord, as we also pray in silence. Whether we pray together or alone, you have promised to hear and answer us. Give us patience to accept your blessings in whatever way you send them. In your love and wisdom, prepare us for the day when you will take us to be with you forever. Hear us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Our offering is in the alms box. We continue with our next hymn, hymn 729, Son of God, Eternal Savior. Thank you.
The Sunday morning worship hour from St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church, Baraboo, Wisconsin, comes to you at 10 a.m. each Sunday morning on radio station 99.7 Max FM of Baraboo, or streaming online at 99.7maxfm.com. We invite you to worship again with us next Sunday at the same time. The cable television rebroadcast of this service will be shown at noon today on Baraboo Cable Channel 10 and TV 43. You may also listen to the sermon podcast on St. John's Lutheran Church and School's Facebook page at 9 a.m. on Sunday. St. John's Lutheran School serves children in 3-year-old preschool through 8th grade. This broadcast is made possible by your contributions to the Media Ministry Fund. We thank you. Your letters and comments addressed to St. John's Lutheran Church at 624 East Street, Baraboo. It will be appreciated. The television producer today is Will Underwood. This is Cindy Allen. May God bless you and lead you to a stronger relationship with Jesus Christ, our Savior. We encourage you to live for Him who died for you.
Please rise. Blessed Lord, you have given us your holy scriptures for our learning. May we so hear them, read, learn, and take them to heart that, being strengthened and comforted by your holy word, we may cling to the blessed hope of everlasting life through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And in your name we also pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look on you with his favor and give you peace.
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated for our last hymn, hymn 384. Hail to the Lord's anointed. Hymn 384. Hail to the Lord's anointed.
You've been listening to the Sunday morning worship service live from St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo. It's now 11 o'clock here on 99.7 FM WRPQ Baraboo. It's now time for Sunday worship from Bethany Evangelical Lutheran Church, 620 East Broadway, Wisconsin Dells. Bethany